check me out on this show real quick. But today we're going to do a very, very simple topic before we get into it. Let me run this across my, let me change up my little banner real quick. So everybody's asking, everybody's interested in the market right now. Everybody's coming along saying, Prince, hey, I'm new to the market. I never was interested in investing. I'm interested in investing now. Can you help me? What should I do? Where should I start? What apps should I use? We're going to get into all of that, right? So I'm going to give you all the seven steps I'm going to break down. Here we go. Y'all ready? So the first thing is, first you got to know your financial picture. What I mean by your financial picture, you need to know how much debt do you have, right? How much debt do you have? How much debt do you have on hand? Knowing your financial picture. What I mean by knowing your financial picture, knowing your balance sheet, how much money do you have? How much assets? How much liabilities? Cash flow. Do you make enough money to support your bills? So the thing about it is, when some people, you know, I know some people that got four kids, three moms, you know, no stable income coming in, and they're like, Prince, I want to get to investing. I'm like, man, before you get into investing, you got to get your whole financial picture together, right? So if you're in this situation, first create your balance sheet. Know how much money is coming in, how much money is coming out, and where is your money? So a balance sheet, that tells you where your money is. Checkings, savings. We're doing a checking. We're doing a savings. We have a bank account or whatever. So you list out where all your money is. That's what a balance sheet is. Just how we look up these financial statements, you're going to create a financial statement to say, hey, I got $5 in checking, $1,000 in savings, $10,000 in money market account, $20,000 in the 401k, $10 over here. Write all of that. That's a balance sheet. Next, you do an income statement. Income statement, how much money is coming into the house or to yourself or whatever, how much money is going out. Now, once you do this, you're going to be able to say, okay, well, you know, I work my job, I got a side hustle, whatever you do, my own business or whatever, and this is how much money is going out. Now, once you do that, now you need to know, is this positive or negative? So how much debt do you have on hand? I'm sorry to tell you, if you have a $40,000 credit card that's maxed out, you might want to invest into that credit card, right? So I'm just giving you guys that plain and simple. So the whole thing is, this is not a personal finance course or show, but this is telling you, look at your financial picture, get it together before you can start investing. That's step number one. Look at your financial picture, know where your money is, know where your money is going. If you're delinquent on child support and taxes and stuff like that, take care of that first before you start looking into the world of investing. Number two, have an emergency savings. I can't stress that enough. I don't know how many people have called me and say, hey, Prince, you know, I got to liquidate all of my stocks. I got to sell all the stocks or whatnot. Yes, you do have to sell the stocks because you don't have a savings account. You know, you don't want to go out here and buy a bunch of McDonald's stock, and then when your tire blows out, you got to go sell your McDonald's stock just to go get your tire fixed. This is why you need a savings. So I like Dave Ramsey's personal finance thing when he says, first, save up $1,000. Use it as your temporary emergency savings. Pay off all your debt. Now, granted, people got houses and cars, big debts, things like that, but a little frivolous debt. If you owe Macy's $1,000 and you owe Best Buy $1,000, you know, you need to fix all that stuff up, right? So now you want to have emergency savings because you're going to need emergency savings just in case things get bad for you, right? Number two, because you don't want to, I've had an emergency happen. I got to go sell all of my stocks. You shouldn't be investing in stocks unless you have a five-year time horizon at least. Number three, evaluate your current 401k. If you have a job, if you're in the military, look at your Roth IRA. Look at your 401k. If you're a school teacher, look at your 401(k) Bravo, right? Look at the retirement plan you already have in place with your current employer. Because let me tell you, let me give you guys a backdrop. The reason why they have a 401k, the reason why 401ks are involved is because companies are literally going broke paying out pensions. Ford, for example, Ford is probably paying $1 million a day or a week. I'm hypothetically speaking. Don't come at me and DM me and say, no, they're actually spending. I'm just hypothetically speaking in pension plans. So a lot of companies out here still paying employees that retired 10, 20 years ago. So with the whole idea is to say, hey, look, they come up with a 401k plan to say, hey, instead of the companies worrying about your retirement, we want the people to worry about their retirements. So look at your retirement. So guess what? Now they're giving you a 401k and they're saying, hey, guess what? We'll match you if you invest. If you don't invest, then we're not going to match you. So a lot of people are getting brokerage accounts, putting money into a brokerage account and buying an index fund. I'm like, you know, if you did that with your company, they would match you. That's what I want you to look at. Because some people are like, oh, I'm going to get a, you're right, Prince. I'm going to get a brokerage account and I'm going to get a 401k, right? And you get a brokerage account and you get a 401k, that's not a good deal. Because if you get a brokerage account, you buy an index fund, you probably can buy that same index fund via your 401k with a job or whatnot. Now, granted, a 401k, you can't pull the money out until you're 59 and a half. With a brokerage account, you can pull it out at any time. Some people don't like 401ks, but take a look at your 401k. Number four. Now you're saying, Prince, I already invested in my 401k. I want something on the outside. When you look at the outside investing, there are only four ways you can invest. Breaking it down, simple and easy. There's only four ways. One, invest into yourself. You know, one, you can get in better shape. Two, you can earn certifications. You can get licenses, become a real estate agent. You can make yourself more marketable. That's investing into yourself. Two, business, right? Either you start your own business, you invest into somebody else's business, all that other great stuff. If you're starting out investing, I'm going to say no to startups. Do not start out with startups. That's my opinion. Do not start out with startups when you're new to investing. Startups are for high-level accredited investors because I'm not going to get deep into it, but the thing about it is when you're starting out and you invest into startups at first, you probably don't have enough information to really make a good evaluation on a great company, and you're probably going to get finessed. I'm just telling you the truth. So that's number one, you can invest in yourself by making yourself more marketable. Two, you can invest in a business, starting your own business, investing in somebody else's business or whatnot. Number three, real estate. I know I kind of look crazy when I'm doing that. The other one, do it the other way around. Number three, real estate, right? Real estate, you can buy a piece of land. You can buy a duplex. You can buy a house, whatever you want to do, right? You can and rent out the house to build an income, or you can get REITs, things like that, real estate. Number four, stocks. Stocks, bonds, mutual fund, ETFs, all that stuff, I consider that stocks. So you got stocks, real estate, business, yourself. That's pretty much it. Right. And they're all intertwined. I try to tell people all the time, all these things are intertwined with each other. People, guess what? Right. When businesses don't make money, Apple is a publicly traded company. Apple is a business. If that business does not make money, it's not going to hire people. So guess what? Not only Apple is a business, but it's also a stock. If people are not being hired, people don't have jobs. We're speaking in general. Unemployment goes up. Who's going to be out here buying a $500,000 house? Little to nobody, right? So that's the second thing you have to worry about. You get what I'm saying? So you see how they all intertwine. So if businesses aren't doing well, that means stocks aren't doing well. If stocks aren't doing well, that means they're not hiring people. They're not hiring people. Who's going to be buying and renting the real estate? You see how they all intertwine with each other? So yes. So now you know if you want to do an outside investment. The reason why I would suggest stocks or whatnot, because they're a little bit more simpler to get into. When you get into real estate, you know, you got to get a real estate agent, you got to find a piece of property, you got to go through legal jargon or whatnot. But with a stock, you can open up a brokerage account this weekend, today, while I'm doing this show, and start investing by in the next 3 or 4 days, right? So that's why I look at it. So let's say if you decide to do stock. Now you have three accounts you can open up. You can have a brokerage account. A brokerage account is only going to do a brokerage account. You can open it up and you can buy and sell stocks. You don't get any tax advantages when you buy and sell inside of a brokerage account. Traditional brokerage account, you have short-term capital gains and you have long-term capital gains. If you make some dividends, the government wants a piece. If you buy a stock today, sell it tomorrow, make some money, the government wants a piece. If you hold it for over a year, that's considered long-term capital gains. So you don't get the tax advantages with a brokerage account. The second account you can do is a Roth IRA. You can do a traditional or you can do a Roth IRA or a traditional Roth IRA. and that's just how you want to pay your taxes. Traditional means I want to pay my taxes later, and I want to defer my taxes, and I want my money to grow tax-free, which making your snowball even bigger. Or somebody saying, I want to pay my taxes today, and then I want to invest the rest. So do you want to pay your taxes now, pay your taxes later, IRA? So you can start a Roth IRA. You can start a regular IRA. You can start a brokerage account. And also, if you're an independent self-employed person, you can do something called a SEP IRA, right? I can't remember what SEP meant, but it's for independent entrepreneurs that want to start their own particular IRA. There go your accounts. That's what you can start. So pretty much a Roth IRA, I look at it as, if you plan on making more money in the future, I look at it as pay your taxes now. That's me, right? I'm in the military. I plan on making more money in the future. I'd rather pay my taxes now. Second, if I wasn't, now if you're someone who's saying, hey, I plan on making less money in the future, then I would say get a traditional. It just depends on how you want to pay your taxes. The pros to paying your taxes now, you don't owe them later, right? The cons with paying your taxes now is your money can't grow tax-free. So that money that you was giving to the government, it could be helping build your nest egg. That's the down pros and cons of a little bit of pros and cons with a Roth. A traditional, the good thing is your money gets to grow tax-free. The bad thing is when you go to pull out on this money, when you're 59 and a half, Uncle Sam going to knock on the door. He's going to want a piece. So sit down with a tax professional. See which one you would like to do, which one is better for your particular situation. But that's number five. That's number four, right? Getting your own account. Number five, once you have the account, you got to fund it. You got to put money into it. If you got Wells Fargo, whatever your JP Morgan, whatever your bank institution is, you got to put money inside of that account, right? So now you got your brokerage account, you got to fund it. You got to put money inside of it. So that can take a couple of days to link up your accounts, put money in your account. Number six, decide what is your risk level. Do you want to be high risk? Do you want to be moderate? Or do you want to be high risk? Do you want to be moderate? Or do you want to be conservative? That, what a lot of people like to do that, it depends on your age, right? But it really doesn't depend on your age, because retirement is not an age, it's a number. And what I mean by a number is how much money do you need to retire? So with that being said, knowing your risk level, if you're a young person, if you're 35 years old, you plan on working till you're 60 years old, that means you have 20 years or whatever the case may be, you might want to be a little bit more high risk. Versus if you were, hey, I got a settlement, I won the lottery, I got a bunch of money, and I'm just trying not to lose it. Now you may want to be a little bit more conservative, right? You're just like, you might focus on a dividend stock. You might be focused on dividends if you are a high risk person. I mean, if you are a low risk person who's trying to preserve capital. I'm 65 years old. I don't, like my dad is 74 years old. He's not concerned with growing money. He's going to be concerned with making money, right? And he's going to be conservative. So he might look at a bond. He might look at a CD. He might look at consumer staple stocks that pay a dividend. So versus someone who may be a little bit more high risk, they may jump into a technology stock. Know your risk level. Know if you're high risk, low risk, or moderate. But always keep in mind, and I'm going to give you guys a secret sauce at the end to figure that out. Always keep in mind, the higher the risk, the lower the return. I mean, the higher the risk, the higher the return. The lower the risk, the lower the return. In general speaking, that's a rule of thumb. Number seven, know your time horizon. How much time you want to give your portfolio? Is this a five-year portfolio? My son, Wesley, is 9 years old. So Wesley, that he's 9 years old, I don't plan on touching his account until he's for another decade. And so guess what? I'm going to be a little bit more high risk with his. Now, when he's 18 years old and he wants to go off to college and start a business, get a trade, whatever he wants to do, I'm going to put that money to something more conservative, right? So know your time horizon. If you got a 17-year-old daughter you're trying to send to school next week, then next month, you may not want to jump into stocks. So know your time horizon. Now, Prince, what is the secret sauce you're going to tell me? The secret sauce is knowing what your number is. When I say know your number, how much money does it require for you to retire? Take me, for example. I'm 35 years old, and I calculate, and I say, you know what? I want to make $100,000 a month when I'm retired for doing nothing, right? Now, let's say I retire from the military. I earn pensions. So let's say my pensions are $50,000 a year, right? And then let's say my wife, she earns a salary of $50,000 a year. Then let's say if I went and got another career and I earned $50,000 a year, that's a total of $150,000 household income. So let's say if you say, hey, you know what? We're going to live off $100,000. We're going to invest $50,000, right? What number do I need to reach for me to receive XYZ? I need to receive another $20,000. With that, I can tell if I want to retire at the age of 55, I know I have 20 years to reach this particular number. Now, if I know I have 20 years, I know how much money I want to make. And let's say if I plan on living to 85 years old, I know I need to live off this money for what, 30 years. Now, I know I need to live off 30. I want to make $100,000 a year for 30 years. What does that number equal out to? You can sit down with a financial professor or you can figure it out yourself and you can say, hey, you know what? I actually need $1.5 million or I need $800,000, whatever you may need. And whatever that number is, now you know how much you can afford, and you can say, I need to earn a 5%, 10%, 12%, whatever percentage return on investment to reach this particular goal. And you may find out you might be closer or farther away than you actually think. So know your number, figure out what that number is. So now that I say that,